Would everyone please stand? Hear the word of God. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You may be seated. On behalf of Carol Belliner's family, I'd like to welcome you here this afternoon. We're gathered to celebrate Carol's life and to mourn her passing, to seek the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the consolation of God's Word. Almost every single element of the service this afternoon, Carol designed, right down to the King James Version of all the scripture passages. It is her service, and it will certainly honor her. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, you are the maker of heaven and earth, and you're the governor and sustainer of everything. You're sovereign. The God in whom we live and move and have our being. It's you alone that gives us life and breath, and you declare from the end from the beginning. And you number our days when as yet there were none. Not even a sparrow falls from a tree without your knowledge. And you work all things according to the counsel of your will, ordaining whatever will come to pass. So knowing these things, we pray that everyone here today would find peace in the promise of the gospel, and that on this day, God would be our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. I ask, Father, that you would send your Holy Spirit to comfort those who grieve, and that the promises of your word would console all of us. I ask these things all in the name of Christ Jesus, who taught his disciples to pray as we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Carol loved to sing, and she loved hymns. She picked out three of them for today. So I want to turn your attention to hymn number 26. And if you need a hymnal, they're in the back. Hopefully you got one on the way in. Hymn number 26, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Would you stand, please?
Should threaten to is grim. We tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever.
The scripture says in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? Job 19:25 and 26. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though this body be destroyed, yet shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not as a stranger. Romans 14:7 and 8. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For if we live, we live unto the Lord, and if we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Revelation 14:13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Even so saith the Spirit, for they rest from their labors. I'd like to invite you to stand again and join us in singing hymn number 573, God of Our Fathers. Carol Joyce Belliner was born on September 21, 1926, in Highland Park, Michigan. She passed from this life into the next on September 19, 2018, just a few days shy of her 92nd birthday. Carol resided here in Farmington Hills. She was predeceased by her husband, Ken. Carol was the loving mother of Bruce and his wife, Karen, along with Carol and her husband, Brian. She was the dear grandmother of Jennifer and her husband Brandon, Mike and his wife Amanda, along with Buffy, Andrew, Brian, and Joshua and his wife Jessie. Carol was also the great-grandmother of 8. If you attended Grace Chapel at any point over the last several years, you were greeted by this dynamic duo of Carol and her dear friend Ray. There was not a sweeter lady to grace these halls. Her warmth, kindness, and smile were always a great start to a Sunday morning, and each of us that knew her will miss her greatly. Carol not only served as a greeter here at Grace Chapel, but was also a deacon. One of the responsibilities of deacons is to care for specific families within the church, and I had the good fortune of being prayed for and cared for by Carol during my youth pastor days here at Grace. Carol would always send my wife and I birthday cards on our birthday, often with some spending money to enjoy the day. and her generosity often spilled over to Christmas, as she would bless my family with a card and a gift to make sure that we got something extra special for our kids. She was truly a deacon extraordinaire. I left staff at Grace to start a church back in the fall of 2008, but Carol never stopped being my deacon. For the past 10 years, every birthday, every Christmas, she continued to send me cards and gifts and to remind me that she was praying for me. She is a woman who would clearly go above and beyond the call of duty to show the love of Jesus. Even this past March, as Carol and I were talking about baseball, you all know Carol loved her Tigers. I grew up in Chicago, so I'm a big Cubs fan, and we were discussing that the Cubs were going to be coming to Comerica this August. Carol would say that she roots for the Cubs as long as they're not playing the Tigers. A few weeks after we talked, she sent me a card with a little spending money and told me to go enjoy the game even though she was rooting for the Tigers to win. The Tigers won 2-1. So just as I've sent her many thank you cards over the years because she's just always blessed me, I just want to publicly say again, thank you, Carol, for all the ways that you have loved me and prayed for me and my family over the years. I know that all of us who received a gentle hug from Carol, greeting us as we walked in through those doors on a Sunday morning, will miss her. But the beautiful hope we have is that just as Carol greeted us and showed us the Lord's welcome and acceptance, she has been welcomed and accepted into her heavenly home because of her faith in Jesus Christ. It is not hard for us to imagine Jesus saying to Carol, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest." It's also not hard to imagine that Carol has already volunteered to be a greeter at heaven's gates to welcome home all those who are recipients of the Lord's goodness. I, for one, look forward to being greeted by that gentle hug when it's my time. Thanks be to God. Ray, will you please come and share a bit about Carol as well?
Well, good afternoon. I'm sure Carol would be impressed with me standing at the pulpit. How about that? Gotcha. That's probably what I could say to her. Anyway, I'm Carol's greeting partner for 22 years here at Grace Chapel. And first of all, I'd like to thank everyone who is here to celebrate Carol's life. As the pastor said, she was quite an extraordinary lady, quite an interesting lady, and we spent a lot of time together. Actually, the greeting team was not always just Carol and myself. In the beginning, we had a greeting team where folks would rotate as far as the greeting was concerned, and that kind of fell by the wayside, and Carol decided to stick with me, and 22 years later, here we are, basically just at the door every Sunday. But we didn't only do greeting. We also expanded our ministry into working with the sick and shut-in. So we were often off to the hospitals or the various rehab places and to visit. It was a difficult time for me because I was 60 pounds heavier. And when we would go into the church, or not the church, into the hospitals, in those long hallways, I just couldn't walk as fast as Carol. I mean, she would roll along quick, and I'd be, slow down, slow down. And then by the time we got to where we were going, I was winded. You know, I was just, and she would do all the talking. But we were able to get through all of that. And about 10 years ago, I became seriously ill and was in the hospital for about a month, and ended up in rehab, etc. And once I was discharged from the hospital, I couldn't drive for 6 months. And so Carol would pick me up and drive me to church. I had to be out at 9:20 so that we could be here at church at 9:30 to greet. Otherwise, I'd miss the bus. So I'd be standing there at my house, and sure enough, here come at 9:20, here comes Carol around the corner. And so as the years passed and we both got a little bit older, Carol decided to give up driving, and it wasn't too long after that that she ended up having to use a walker. And so as Carol was getting older, certainly I was getting older. So when we were at the door, she would be there with a walker, and I'd be there sitting on the chair as we whittled away, so to speak, and trying to put up a good front. But we did that. We did that every Sunday, and we just had a great time working together. And then certainly when she couldn't drive, members of the church would stop by, pick her up, and bring her to church. You might say, well, why didn't I? Well, I usually get here about 8 a.m., and Carol wasn't willing to get here at 8 a.m. in the morning to wait for start greeting people at 10. So that didn't work out. So anyway, we tried to get out to lunch about once a month, and over the years we spent a lot of time talking. And during one of those conversations, we spoke about Detroit and her perception of Detroit. And so I suggested that we go to Detroit, and which we did. And we also went to Belle Isle and sat by the river. We had a mini picnic and just sat there and relaxed for the afternoon and just enjoyed the day. And those were great times. And again, as the years went on, Carol became ill more often than not. But she was like an Energizer bunny. Just at the moment when we thought that was it, I mean, a good example is most recently when she was in the hospital. And I mean, she was really in bad shape, and we went because it thought that was going to be the last time we'd see her. One of the elders came over, prayed for her, so we just thought that was going to be it. The next day, I come in. And, hey, what up? Now, Carol wasn't into hip-hop, but I mean it. But at the same time, it was just like that. I mean, she just like the bunny. She'd be all starting all over again. And but anyway, one of the, a couple of the embarrassing situations that we had. My wife Shirley had some health challenges, and I can't remember all the details of this, but she was in a situation where she was going to a doctor's appointment, and so for some reason we called the senior bus to pick her up and so that she could go to her appointment. In the meantime, I drove to Carol's house to pick Carol up so that we could go to see the sick and the shut-in. And so while I'm there picking Carol up, here comes a senior citizen bus picking up the guy next door to go to his appointment. We look up, who's looking out the window but Shirley? Now, like I said, I don't remember all the details on that. But, and I say that because I don't know why it wasn't I who took Shirley to the see her appointment. I don't understand that. But anyway, I had time to take Carol, but I didn't have time to take Shirley, apparently. Anyway, so one of the more recent things that we had relative to Carol, not too long ago, we have a couple from Nigeria who attends church, and 6 months they spend in Africa and 6 months they spend here. So when Dr. Lakin came in from this trip from Nigeria, I mean, he had on this sharp, I mean, really sharp Nigerian outfit. So I said, Dr. Lakin, or Dr. Ayer, that is really sharp. And he said, do you like it? I said, yeah, I do. So 2 weeks later, here comes this African dress. For me. So I looked at it. Matter of fact, I mentioned to Ron here that I had gotten this African suit from Dr. Ayer. And so I decided the next Sunday that I would wear it. So I came to church in this African suit. And since I'm never without a flag on my coat jacket or never without a pocket hanky, I mean, that's my signature. So onto this African garment went the flag and the pocket hanky. So after church, I went over to the assisted living with my outfit and showed it to Carol. So she says, well, that's very nice. And we visited for a while. And the next day I come in, and first thing she says to me after, she says, you know, open the drapes and put the flower pots up the different places, and I said, yeah, and good morning to you, too. You know? But anyway, she says to me, you know, you really insulted Dr. Ayer, putting all that junk all over that suit. I said, what are you talking about? She says, well, you know, I said, I tell you what, next Sunday I'll go see Dr. Ayer and ask him if I offended him by what I did, Americanizing that African wardrobe. And I'll see what he says. So I went back Sunday, asked Dr. Ayer what he thought about it. He says, Ray, he has a smile that he gives you. He says, Ray, no problem. So off I go back to Carol to report that Dr. Ayer had no problem with my flag and my pocket hanky. She said, well, you offended me. I said, okay. Well, nothing I could do about that. So, but we often talked about One of the other things she didn't like about Ray Randolph, and there were many, but I'll just mention this one. At Christmas time, 2 weeks before Christmas, we usually wear Christmas hats. And so in the recent holidays, I got this Christmas hat, which is a manly Christmas hat. And, you know, it had a lid on it and then the red cap and the ball and so forth and so on. And she just hated that cap. And she asked me several times to stop wearing it, but, you know, with my manly cap. But anyway, Carol, this Christmas I will not wear my manly Christmas cap. I will be the Christmas guy you want me to be. But in winding down, one of the things that we talked about is death. And Carol always had her bags packed, ready to go. And as I said, there were several opportunities, and as the Energizer Bunny, nothing ever happened. But this time on September 19, the train that we always talked about, early that morning, we heard the bell in the distance. So at 12:30 that afternoon, the whistle got louder, the train arrived. The doors opened, gentlemen stepped out on the platform in a sharp, dark blue uniform with a red cap. He said these words, "All aboard!" Carol picked up her bags, got onto the train. She turned around and waved. She says, "I love you, Grace Chapel, until we meet again." And the doors closed. The whistle blew one more time, and the train left the station. She loved her pastor, actually both pastors, and she'd often talk about both the pastors. We just had some great times. I will definitely miss her. But one of the things I want to say, Bruce, I think you did a Herculean job in putting Carol's things together, her business, putting her home up for sale, getting rid of the furniture from 800 miles away. That was quite an education for me, since all my family is 800 miles away. And just watching you handle that situation, and I watched it on a daily basis, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Thank you, Pastor.
We're going to take the next couple of minutes and pass the microphone around, and I want to hear from you all, just some stories or some memories, no matter how brief, of Carol and how her life impacted yours, or perhaps a memory that you had of her, whatever it might be. So just need one person to get it started. For those of you at Grace Chapel, if you don't get it started, I'll start calling names. How about that? Is that make you feel uncomfortable enough yet? All right, Glenn, you'll be next.
Hey, everybody. My name is Brian. I'm a grandchild. We've known this day is coming for a long time, but like Ray said, she was the Energizer Bunny. Back in May, I think it was, I spent some time with her at the hospital, and she was in bad shape, and she's just tough. You know, she came back, and the very next day, the color was back, and she was lively complaining about the hospital food and all that good stuff. But, she was something else. She taught me a lot about resilience and a lot about faith and a lot about family. Some of the things I remember about her is going over to her house, and, you know, Papa Kenny would be sitting at the table watching the Tigers game, usually complaining about the pitching. And you guys probably remember Mike Handy Buffy, the small white dish of Cheez-Its that we'd probably eat a whole box of Cheez-Its when we were over there, but it was just the smallest of white dishes that would constantly get filled up. And the race to the office to watch TV, all the books and puzzles that were always over there, they're real old books, real old puzzles, but there was always something special about going over there and seeing everybody and being with her. And all the Tigers games I went to with Grace Chapel 3 or 4 times for that outing, and she really enjoyed the Tigers, and I really enjoyed her take on some of the awful play by some of the players. So, but real brief, I just wanted to thank everybody here. Her church was her home, and you guys did a lot to support her throughout the years. So on behalf of me and my family, we thank you guys.
Hi, my name is Glenn. I was one of the Carol's infrequent riders or drivers to church. She sort of had a bank of people that she would call to get over, and I was like second or third in the list, or when her regular riders were unavailable, Cindy and I would pick her up. She's always just such fun, and she had lots of stories. She's talking about her family and grandkids all the time, and so we kind of sort of know a lot of you from her, you know, reflections, and she would always talk about who's calling and who's visiting, and so that was always great. One of the real joys, the benefits of driving Carol, was that she would get Meals on Wheels, and there are things that she would receive that she wouldn't partake in, and she used to give them to us. So we used to get these little cartons of milk and any fruits and things. What else was in our little package? So we always thought that was really worthwhile, you know, in terms of not only just spending time with her, but, you know, we would always, because we would, you know, those are things that we enjoyed. So that was kind of a side benefit. Carol always, you know, it's funny, she had that walker, but she would scoot up those stairs, you know, like, you know, she didn't need the walker to get up there somehow, but and she always had her garage door opener, you know, kind of she would take it with us and everything else. So she was just such a fun person to be with, and she was a joy. And, of course, she was, we wanted to get her here because she always greeted us. So we would drop her off. She'd get in here, and then we'd go park her car, and then she'd greet us again when we came in. So there was sort of a double benefit. So anything you wanted to add?
I just wanted to emphasize that she, as much as she probably talked about Grace Chapel to her family, she talked about her family to Grace Chapel.
Hello, my name is Nancy. I didn't know Carol as well as most of you did, but what I do remember is every Sunday when drivers would drop her off at church, she'd be sitting in the lobby, you know, on her walker, and she was always dressed very nice. The memory that of her that I'll be with me for the rest of my life.
Hi, I'm Bruce. I'm the guy responsible for raising my mom's blood pressure when it got low. A phone call would do it from 800 miles away. I wanted to thank you all for being such good friends to her. This is one place that a church functions like it should. Sorry to cry, I'm pretty happy about this statement, but you are a real blessing to her. You reach out to people, that's a witness to the world when you function like that. And I was able to see it firsthand. So thank you all for that, because it meant so much to her. And I'll close with just a little bit of tidbit of what happened her first day in hospice. We had had the evaluation done, and she was dead set against it. But once she heard the positive things about hospice, she was asking for this evaluation to take place. They accepted her because of her condition right away. So I get a phone call about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm sure she had Ray call me. I didn't take any of my medication this morning. And she's just gloating about this. She's had months of people telling her what to do in rehab and in the hospital. I can tell by her voice that the rebellion has started. I didn't take any of my medication. I said, well, what's up? Why not? She said, well, I'm on hospice. I don't have to do what the nurses at Farmington Hills Inn tell me anymore. I explained to her that they were working as a team, that hospice was really in charge of the medication, and Farmington Hills, dear people that they were to her, were working as a team with hospice, and she should really take her medicine. So she capitulated. She says, all right, I'll call him back and get my medicine. But still, that was my mom.
Hello. My name's Michael, one of the grandkids. Okay, I'll stand up. In addition to being a rebellious spirit, my grandmother was also quite an adventurous spirit. And some of that, I think, perhaps a lot of it, rubbed off on me. Throughout my life, I would occasionally get great ideas like, oh, I'll become a stunt pilot. Or, oh, I'll run away to New York and see what happens. And when I would tell some of these ideas to other people in my life, things like stunt pilot or, oh, I'm going to take up skydiving, that'll be a fun hobby, other people would always be like, well, you sure? You really need to do that? But not my grandmother. She would always immediately, ah, that's a good idea. You should totally do that. You need to do that. You've been jumping off stuff since you could crawl. It's about time you had a parachute. So I always appreciated that. She was always my go-to. Very adventurous. And we talked frequently. And I can tell all of you that whether she met you one time in her life or whether you spent every day with her, I've heard about you. She remembered everyone and told me and Amanda and many of us about each and every one of you. And I know that she loved every single person that she ever saw, well, maybe with the exception of Major League Baseball players from the other team. But Ray, I definitely heard all about your poor fashion choices. It was one of her frequent, very frequent things to talk about. And she enjoyed that quite a bit. And my advice to you would probably be, go ahead and wear your ridiculous hat this Christmas. If she's watching, it'll give her something to talk about. Yep. And she will not hesitate to talk about it. There you go. Anyway, I know she loved everyone. Thank you for everything you did for her. It will never be forgotten. Thank you.
My name is Carol. I'm Carol's daughter. So I knew her better than anybody. I don't think a lot of you knew the mom that I had as a child. My mother was an awesome mother. She would take a lot of time with me, such as making me into her bed, pretending I wasn't there. And then she would spend many moments, if not minutes, where's Carol? Where does she go? This went on all the time. She would just spend time with me, make me in bed. Who does that? My mother had dinner on the table every night. My mother spent hours, years with horses. She was out in the barn. She cleaned stalls. She drove a truck, not only during the daytime, but at nighttime with two horses and a horse trailer, her and me. A lot of times my dad. A lot of times it was just me and her. And my mom, we would go to Kmart shopping. I took her shopping a lot. I would turn around, and she'd be gone. I would spend half an hour looking for her in the store, but with her and her walker, she got around quite well. I'd like to thank all of you who made her smile, took care of her. She loved everyone, and I pretty much know everybody, too, because I heard about everything wonderful that everyone did. Thank you.
Many of you don't know that I was the cleaning lady for Carol for the last 10 years. And being with her, so part of my job being over there is not just cleaning, but listening to her talk. And I heard all kinds of stuff about her past. And the people who said she was adventuresome are just, that's just the tip of the iceberg. She was kind of fearless. And she loved to talk about her family. So I heard all the stuff that went on. And she was also very conscientious about her card ministry. You heard one person's take on that. But I helped her keep her computer up so she could get all these cards out that she needed to all the time. And she was never forgot.
It's going to take me a long time to stop reflexively looking for Carol at the end of the church service, because for years now, at the end of the service, she came over and sat and talked with Emil. Carol understood how it is to be taking care of a disabled husband at home, because she did that for many years herself. I knew her during those years when we were in Sunday school together, and then we kind of switched roles. And Carol seemed to sense when I was struggling, and she sent me some wonderful, encouraging notes and cards at just the right time over the years. I have enjoyed those, and just the nice cards that she has consistently sent us. But I so appreciated knowing that when the service ended and I'm having my big social time at the week, I knew that Carol would be speaking with Emil, enjoying being with him, and I felt free to go and look people up and talk to people and just enjoy that time myself. And I know this week and last week I still kind of, looked up for Carol. I'm going to miss her very much.
Hi, I'm Buffy. I'm a grandkid. Me and my grandma didn't agree on a lot of things. I helped get her blood pressure up, and after a while, she got mine up even more than I got hers up, I think. But we agreed on a couple things, and we like to talk to each other, even the most heated of conversations, we could always end on, "Oh, well, you know, it was great talking to you." Even after 30 minutes of being like, "What? Like, what? No. How do you think that's ridiculous?" It was so good talking to you. And it was a beautiful thing. She just had a switch. And even if it was to disagree, she liked to call and talk about it. And we agreed on a couple things. We agreed on cookies. Those are good. The finer things in life, like cookies and good-looking men. She had an appreciation for those too, and friends. And I think my whole family has said, and thanks, guys, because she really loved all of you, and she loved this place.
I'm Neil, a friend of Carol's here at Grace Chapel for a number of years, and I have to say that And I have many friends in this place. She was probably one of my very best friends, and I definitely will miss her. And one of the things that we used to do pretty regularly is sit down after a Sunday morning service and just talk. And just to sit and talk with Carol one-on-one was a total joy for me. We got to know a lot about each other over the years. In fact, one of the unique things that we discovered about each other, and she's a generation ahead of me, is that we both went to the same elementary school in Detroit. A little known piece of trivia for you there. But Carol, along with being a sports fan and liking the Tigers, she was into politics a bit too, you might know. And so we went off on some of those kind of discussions, and she definitely had her opinions, and she was strong in that way. And I've been known over the course of time, some people would know that here at Grace Chapel, to send out emails. Some of it spiritual, some of it maybe political. And I, regardless of what I had sent out, I could almost count on Carol always responding, where most people just kind of deleted it when they saw who it was from. But Carol, she would always answer. And so I always appreciated that about her. One thing to also mention is, because I got to visit her over the last few months as much as I could, she kept a positive attitude, and she kept her sense of humor, I think, almost to the very end. And I thought that was just a great example of just who she was. But I have to close here with one story that happened on one of my last visits to see her. At the place that she was at last, I was walking to her room, and when I got to her room, the door was just slightly open, and I could see that she had she was sitting in her wheelchair, and she had her back to me, and her head was down like this, so I knew that she was sleeping. So I didn't want to startle her, so I kind of knocked on the door gently, and I said, "You taking any visitors today?" And she woke up, and she said, "Sure, come on in." So I walked in the door, and then when I went and looked around the corner, lo and behold, her buddy Ray was sitting there smiling at me. See, I had woken up both of them. So the three of us just laughed, just burst out laughing. It was a great moment, and I don't think I'll ever forget it, but it was really great.
Close it up with just a story of my own with Carol. Many of you have already mentioned what an amazing person she was just to sit down and talk to. And I think Cindy said it best. To her family, she talked about Grace Chapel, but to Grace Chapel, she always talked about her family. And I really delighted in Carol's company, because what you realize is Carol wasn't a preacher. Carol didn't always have the gospel of Jesus Christ on the tip of her tongue. But what was evident in every word she said was the love and compassion of Jesus. And, you know, some people will preach that message and not really demonstrate it, but Carol was exactly the opposite. She wasn't always preaching it, but she embodied it. Every conversation, you just knew that she was this close to the Lord at all times, listening to his voice and delighting in his presence. And just the way in which she shared her life with me was evidence of that. And, you know, Mike and I were comparing notes just a couple of days ago as we were planning the service. And he said, "Let me tell you what Carol used to do for me. She used to send me these notes." And as he told the story just a few moments ago. Well, I said, "Well, that's weird, because every birthday I got a card from Carol with a little bit of spending money for the, and every anniversary Debbie and I got a card from Carol, and every Christmas we got a card from Carol." And as Dave just explained, this was not a handful of cards that she would send out. She was bulk in the way she ministered to people, and think about that. Think about the way in which she touched lives. Because it is always wonderful to sit with Carol and have her say that she loves you and God bless you. She always said that to me before we left each other's company. But to on a very consistent and regular basis get a card that says "Happy birthday, I love you," or "Merry Christmas," or have fun with these few bucks that I want you to go and enjoy yourselves and enjoy life. Man, that is evidence of someone deeply invested in your wholeness. And I think there's no one who shared Jesus' love better than Carol did. She was just amazing. When 275 was closed a couple of years ago, when they shut it down, I live south of here, so I had to find a different route home. Halstead was jam-packed because everybody... So I decided I'd start taking Drake, and then I would dead-end into her subdivision there at the end of Drake and 9 Mile. And so I just got in this habit of driving through and just to see if Carol would be sitting out in her driveway. And she often did. She'd open up the garage and she'd sit there in her little chair. And it just got to be a thing. Even if I come home at 5, she'd be sitting there. If I came home at 6, she'd be sitting there. If I came home at 3 in the afternoon for some reason, she'd be sitting there. And I'd say, well, hi. She goes, I just know. I just know when you're stopping by. And we spent hours and hours talking to each other. Sometimes I'd stay for 5 minutes. Sometimes I'd stay for an hour. It didn't really matter. My favorite story of all time was the Belliners used to live off of 7 Mile in Northville, across from the Northville Psychiatric Hospital. It's since closed down. And I said, so tell me what that was like, because I had known that people would get out from the hospital. She'd go, oh my goodness, they'd wander over to our house all the time. And I said, well, what would you do? I'm trying to imagine this little lady with someone who wasn't quite mentally stable and how she would deal with it. Well, she said, sometimes I would invite them in and have them use the phone so they could call back over and tell them that they were lost. Or sometimes I'd just talk to them. And I was like, wow, that's a different approach than most people would take to someone who's literally escaped from the mental hospital. She said, I did have one, though, that was a little bit troublesome, and you've probably heard this story. She said, I had just left the house and was pulling out on 7 Mile, and there was a couple, a man and a woman, who was hitchhiking. Carol said, I've got to say something, and they didn't respond to them. So she turned around and went back to the house, got on the phone and called the hospital and said, there are two of your patients on 7 Mile who are hitchhiking, and I think you should do your best to go get them. And they said, well, how do you know that there are patients and they're just two hitchhikers? Carol paused. She said, well, they're in the middle of the road. And she said, people may stop, but I don't think anybody's going to pick them up. So perhaps you should go. So, and the kicker was, I'd stop, and I did stop to try to bring them back, but I couldn't catch them. So, to hear all of these words about her being fearless and brave, and all of these, it was her in spades. And I think the most defining thing was, though, she loved the Lord, and she loved others, and she loved to love others as the Lord loved us. And that was just a wonderful example of who Carol was. And man, just like all of you, I will miss her like crazy. We're going to sing one more hymn of her choice, and that is Amazing Grace. That is number 202. And let's stand together and sing this very familiar hymn.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first many dangers tore. and grace will lead me home when we. Bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
You may be seated. Carol chose John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 as the gospel reading. God's word says this, "I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." It is said that on his 80th birthday, John Quincy Adams was walking the streets of Boston. And a friend stopped him and asked, "How is John Quincy Adams today?" And the president replied, "I am well. In fact, sir, I am quite well." But the house in which John Quincy Adams lives in at present is becoming dilapidated. It is tottering on its foundations. Time and the seasons have nearly destroyed it. Its roof is pretty well worn out. Its walls are shattered and it trembles with every wind. The old tenement is becoming almost inhabitable. And I think John Quincy Adams will have to move out of it soon. But he himself is quite well. Thanks for asking. Over the past several years, I would hear something very similar from Carol. In fact, Ray mentioned one of her favorite sayings, "The bags are packed. I don't know what the Lord's doing. This old body isn't what it used to be, and it's breaking down a lot, but I am ready to go home." She was confident in her relationship with Jesus Christ and knew that one day he would call her to be with him. One of the first times that Jesus talked about this is our passage today. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die." Usually when we think of resurrection, we think of something that happened to Jesus. We think that Jesus might have been the patient and God the Father was the doctor. And in this case, he performs some sort of miracle or surgery that makes Jesus well again. Or maybe we think that Jesus was simply a victim. He has no say or choice in the matter. The resurrection was simply something that God orchestrated, and it happened to him or is done to him. This is the way that all resurrections in the Bible seem to read, isn't it? Jesus stopped a funeral procession of the widow of Nain's son and commanded the young man, "Get up," and he did. He took the hand of the daughter of Jairus and commanded the girl, "Get up," and she did. And he commanded Lazarus to come out of the tomb. All of these people were acted on by forces outside of themselves and beyond their control. They were given no say in the matter. They were resurrected. But Jesus doesn't speak of his resurrection as if it were something that happened to him, as if he were the patient or the victim. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." So what exactly happened to Jesus? Did God go in the tomb and shake Jesus awake? Did he stand outside the tomb and call him to come outside? Did he have to command him to arise? Did he have to tell the onlookers to go and strip the grave clothes off because something was going to happen? No, Jesus didn't have to be let out of the tomb. Jesus did not have to be unwrapped from his burial cloths. He didn't have to be shaken awake. And he didn't have to be called out of the tomb. His body came back to life. He passed through the burial wrappings just like he passed through the walls after he had risen again. He passed through the same stone blocking the entrance to the tomb. He greeted Easter morning's sunshine. Jesus arose. And he arose from the grave the same way that we would arise from a night's sleep. Because he is the resurrection and the life. He didn't say, I experience the resurrection. He didn't say, I am given life. You see the picture? It's not something that he does. It's not something that he experiences. It is something that Jesus is. Notice Jesus doesn't merely tell us that he will bring us to life. He is life. He not only speaks of the resurrection, he is the resurrection. When he says, I am the resurrection and the life, think of what Jesus is telling us here. He's telling us that he has the power to withhold death and to bring life. He also tells us that he has the power to conquer death and restore life. He is the I am, and he is the resurrection. He holds all this power in his hands. We see this power on display in our passage. The great I am, who is the resurrection and the life, calls Lazarus out of the tomb. He did the same thing in every single funeral that he went to. He was in the habit of breaking up funerals with resurrections. This is what Jesus did. And the beautiful thing today is he doesn't have to break up this funeral with a resurrection. Why? Because Carol already was united by faith with him, and she was resurrected. She was participating in his death and in his resurrection. When she committed her life to Jesus Christ, it was decided then and there that on the day that her body stopped working, she would be in the very presence of the Lord. This is what it means to believe in the one who is the resurrection and the life. Last week, Carol's heart stopped beating, but her soul was in the presence of the Lord immediately when that happened. And on that last day when Jesus returns, she will receive a new body, and that resurrection will be complete. I think the question that Carol would want me to ask all of you is, do you know that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? To place your faith and your trust in him is far more significant than simply getting your ticket punched for heaven. It's living in the presence with the forgiveness of all of your sin. It's having the freedom of God's grace washing over you every single moment of every single day. And it is the assurance that you will have everlasting life. Put another way, through all of these things, you are in a relationship with the God of the universe. You, though you sit in the chairs here at Grace Chapel, if you have trusted him, you also sit in the heavenlies with him. You are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And what is promised to you is not just you will be in heaven one day, but you are with him even to the end of the age. To unite with Christ is the promise that you are in a relationship with the God of heaven and earth. There is no greater satisfaction, no greater power, no greater hope in all of the world. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I pray that your Spirit would comfort those who mourn, and the promises of the gospel would provide deep consolation. I pray that everyone would remember the virtues of Carol and would seek to follow her examples. But we would also be sensible that life is short and might even today seek to make peace with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. I ask also, Father, that in the weeks and months ahead, that you would meet every need of her family and her friends as we grieve her departure. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The last passage of Scripture that Carol wanted read was the 23rd Psalm. And it was really funny because she made some notes on the side and something, and when I was going over them last week, there is a part in the middle here, "Yea, though I have walked through the valley of the shadow of death." She put a little arrow, she wrote there, "Man, I've been there." But the promise that comes afterwards, we'll hear in just a moment, and we know that she delighted in it. Would you stand, please, for this last reading of God's Word? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Unto the mercy of Almighty God, we commend the soul of Carol Belliner, and we commit her body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." Receive the benediction. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. I invite all of you to please stay and enjoy a light dinner with us, and let's extend this celebration of Carol's life together. Amen.